Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, first thing we should say is happy Easter to anybody celebrating Easter. Happy Passover if you're celebrating Passover. And happy Ramadan to anybody celebrating Ramadan. Only happens once in a blue moon, right? This is 33 years since those three have crossed over.
Oh, right. What have you been reading today?
This is just knowledge I know.
No, it's not.
This is just stuff I know, Sam, because I'm that cultured. That's the sort of stuff I know.
You're a liar.
How much chocolate are we eating today? Quite a lot, to be fair. I'm on a little bit of a sugar. There's quite a lot of sugar in my system at the minute. I'm expecting a bit of a crash about halfway through the stream. And I'm in a pretty good mood because the football this weekend, I wasn't to start with, but then I was in a slightly better mood. The football this weekend, really good. It was a fantastic game week, wasn't it? And not only, and not least, at Anfield. I mean, the game that we just watched on Sky this afternoon was a brilliant game, wasn't it? We can talk about the details of it and what happened from an FPL perspective, but just a great game.
A game of football.
Just a great game.
Yeah, it was.
Just a great game. So lots to discuss this week, guys. We're going to talk about overall ranks. We'll talk about our scores. We'll talk about whether your wild card was a success or a failure. So we're going to talk about that. You played the wild card this week. We didn't. So game week 29, we didn't really discuss that here on a live stream. We had a couple of podcasts in the week about it. Really good for me. I got 140 odd points.
We didn't really discuss it.
With that. We didn't discuss it last Sunday, did we? Because we were halfway through the game week. But we did do some podcasts about it during the week.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I did 140 odd points. Not so good for you, but you have bounced back with the wild card this week. So we're going to talk more about that. Lots of people to say hello to. Nigel the Crab, Simon is in, as usual. Simon, nice to see you. Let's Talk Vinyl is in, very nice to see you. I'm 1974. Who fed you those facts, Lee? I just know this stuff.
No, you don't just know this stuff.
I just know it.
You're a liar. Where did you read it?
I just know it.
Twitter. TikTok. Bet there was a TikTok video.
Bit of TikTok, maybe. Yeah, Adam Stevenson, evening, guys. Hello, Adam. How are you? Guys, get in the chat. Let us know your scores for game week 30. A lot went on this game week, didn't it? Some penalty misses. Did we have any red cards? I don't remember seeing any red cards, but we did have penalty misses for Tony and Salah. We had an own goal for David Raya. So if you got them three, you're deeply, deeply unlucky. And we had linesmen elbowing Liverpool players as well. It was all kicking off this game week, no doubt about it. But we'll talk about our scores a bit later on. Scott is in with 63 points. Well done, Scott. Very, very good. Brian Springer is in. Lee, please tell Sam her hair looks great.
Aww.
It looks great. What is she drinking, though? I've got a feeling that it's a Pepsi Max, isn't it?
It's Pepsi Max.
It's a Pepsi Max. Nothing too exciting,
it's nothing
Brian.
But thank you.
Mienna is in, and we've got Mithlesh as well. So a whole host of you in this evening, guys. A whole host of you. So thank you for joining us here on FPL Family. Sam, I think we should just dive straight into it. Lots to discuss in game week 30. Where do you want to start before we get to our teams and how we're getting on and what we're thinking of doing for game week 31? Where do you want to start with game week 30?
Well, I think we might as well start with Anfield, mightn't we?
Go on then. Let's start with the Liverpool game. Let's start with the game we've just seen. Two really good games and high scoring games there. We've got to talk a bit more about Crystal Palace in just a second because I don't know, what did he do differently, Roy Hodgson? I don't know. I mean, they just didn't have the ball hogging Zaha and all of a sudden they can play a bit, Crystal Palace. I don't know.
We'll talk about them in a minute.
In a minute. But Liverpool 2, Arsenal 2, big game in the shake-up for the title race because I think that now leaves City 6 points behind Arsenal.
Are they going to bottle it?
And they have a game in hand, Man City, which is coming up, as we know, as FPL managers, come up in game week 34. And I think it's against West Ham at home, right? It's a game you'd expect them to win, right? Yes. And the way they're playing right now, you'd expect them to beat anybody. Then it's the game week 33 is Arsenal versus Man City.
I literally can't wait for that.
Pretty sure that is going to be almost title deciding, isn't
it? Yeah, it will.
It's title deciding. And we'll look at fixture tickers and all the rest of it for the rest of the season because as you come out of the double game week, the City fixtures between now and the end of the season look really good.
Yeah.
They don't look like they're going to drop too many points, whereas Arsenal got some
ones
tricky ones.
Man United are in there, aren't they, Newcastle?
They got some tricky ones. And just as I was coming on, I was on Twitter and I was seeing a few clips from Arsenal fan TV about fans saying, oh, now we've bottled it.
We've not had any.
And it's like, oh, come on, Arsenal fans, come on.
Not had any ranting from Arsenal fan TV for a long, long time.
Well, it's because they've been top of the league and they've been very, very good. Mm. Nigel the Crab, thank you for being a member for 13 months here on the channel. Let's talk about all the things I got wrong this week. No Haaland, no Grealish, but bought in a Kanji interesting one, Simon. In better news, 13 months on the fam. So yes, thank you, Cyber, Nigel the Crab, for 13 months a member here at the FPL Family YouTube channel. And if you want to be a member just like Simon and have your comments highlighted, then there's a button on the homepage, I think probably even as you're watching this video, a little button that says join, and you can click that and become a member here at the FPL Family YouTube channel. But Liverpool 2, Arsenal 2, I've got loads of opinions. You go first.
Well, let's start with the elephant in the room. When I sell an Arsenal midfielder, I always get it wrong.
Yeah.
So,
let me guess, you sold Martinelli.
Yeah, and if you remember back to the World Cup, when we had our unlimited transfers, I only wanted to come back with one Arsenal midfielder. And I decided to come back with Martinelli, which at the time felt like a good idea because I had a lot of money invested in
him.
And then he went on that run where he was getting benched and everything was going wrong and it was a bit of a disaster. Fast forward to the wild card and I was like, right, okay, I need to try to prepare my team as much as possible for the doubles that we know we've got in 34, but also the three games that still need to be rearranged at some point this season. So in my head, I was like, well, doesn't really make a lot of sense to have two Arsenal midfielders. I think I'll drop down to one, knowing that then longer term I could go to Gabriel Jesus up top and have the double up that way instead. Okay. And it pained me to sell Martinelli because I was like, well, Martinelli's the form of the two.
He's banging form, isn't he? Yeah.
However, he's also the one that has the most potential for rotation with Trossard, with Jesus back. And I was like, oh, I think I better stick with Trossard. Stick with Saka. Which is what I did.
And here we are. And here we are with a goal and assist for Martinelli. So Arsenal assets going forward. Let's just have a look at those fixtures that I mentioned before, because the fixtures for Arsenal don't make particularly good reading in the medium to longer term. So West Ham and Southampton up next. So listen,
great games for them too.
You ain't selling any Arsenal players ahead of either of those two fixtures. Then it's a big one, isn't it? City away in 33, a potential title decider. Then they have got a single game week in 34 against Chelsea at home. And the way that Chelsea are playing right now, I have to talk about them in a minute. Then it's Newcastle away, difficult game, isn't it? 35, difficult game. And then an in-form Brighton side. Well, they might not be in-form by the time game week 36 comes around, but the way they're playing, going to the Emirates,
see
a Brighton
them being out form. Very, very they're so good. Good,
they're
good.
They're such a good side. So they've got City, Chelsea, Newcastle, Brighton. That four is very difficult, isn't it? It's very difficult. But you're not selling anybody ahead of West Ham Saints, are you?
Oh, no. I mean, and that's part of the thing, isn't it? Is that for most of us, like part of the reason that I was sort of happy-ish to sell one of them was because going into game week 32, when I'm going to be free hitting, I was like, well, then I've got a free choice as to which of the Arsenal assets I fancy having.
You're going to have three, aren't you, in 32?
Yeah. Now, the question is, do you stick with the defender or do you just go all out on the attack because it's Southampton and, well, look what happened with Man City there. So I think there's a discussion to be had when we get closer to game week 32. I don't think you're investing necessarily, though, in Arsenal.
No, you're probably sticking with what you've got.
I think you hold, for sure.
What about if you haven't got the free hit? Because this is a trap we're going to fall into quite a bit, I think, you and I tonight, is that we've both got the free hit and we're both planning to play it in 32. We've got quite a similar strategy. But there will be people on the live chat that don't have the free hit.
There will.
So going into game week 32, Southampton at home, you're going to want to treble up on Arsenal, aren't you?
Yes.
I would have thought.
Yeah, you are. I think it depends on what your strategy is more longer term as well. So for example, Max doesn't have his free hit chip anymore. So we are doing something slightly different with his team, which bit him this week because it was really hard to invest in Man City, given the blank when he can't get out of it. So where for him, investing in Arsenal makes a lot of sense because he does still have his wild card. So our plan with him is to basically dead end your team. And by dead ending, actually, that means investing in Arsenal.
Yeah.
In order that, then for game week 33's wild card, he can de-invest in them for that difficult patch of fixtures that they have. So whereas I think if you don't have the wild card, then you've maybe got a more interesting conversation to be had because if you then go really heavy on Arsenal for 32, you're coming out of that into Man City. And how far do you want to be invested in Arsenal? And which assets do you want to be invested in? Now, I think if you go with players like Martinelli, Saka and Jesus, Trossard maybe, but this is the problem with Martinelli and Trossard,
isn't it?
So Saka and Jesus for sure, and then maybe one of the defenders, then you're okay, because potentially you could swap one of them out as part of your transfer. Sorry, I've got the hiccups. Part of your transfer plans going into game week 33.
Mm-hmm.
So I think whatever your strategy is, it's going to be so important with your transfers for game week 31 to be really sure what you're doing with your team, not just for 31, but also for 32, and then what that team might then look like for 33.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely right. Certainly the next two for Arsenal looking very, very good indeed. Welcome to the FPL Family Channel, FPL Shauno. So there we go. Quick mention of joining the FPL Welcome. Family YouTube channel. And FPL Shauno is in. He's a brand new member here on the channel. So FPL Shauno, if you've got a comment to make, mate, or a question, you, like Cyberdeck, can now get in the chat and it's highlighted. And we can call it out and we can discuss it and we can talk about it. So Arsenal assets, yes, going
Shout
nowhere
out to
for the next two.
Ramsdale, though.
Very, very good. Yeah, very, very good. Two world-class saves at the end. The one from Salah was unbelievable. And the reaction save from Konate was potentially even better. What are we saying about Liverpool assets now, though? Because looking at the fixture ticket, going back to that, it's Leeds away next. Now, I'm the first to say that Liverpool away from home have not been very good, to say the least.
Did you see Leeds today?
But did you see Leeds today and how bad they were against Crystal Palace? And then it's Forest at home in 32, which, whether you're free hitting or not, I'd suggest you probably want some Liverpool players for that. Then it's West Ham. Then it's a Spurs and Fulham in a double game week, which, you know, the Spurs game is a difficult one, but they're both at home. That's absolutely key. Then it's Brentford and Leicester. So actually, the Liverpool fixtures between now and the end of the season, I don't want to... Listen, it's bonkers for me to say we could go and put a bit of a run together that might see us claim somewhere near a European spot. But the fixtures are there for that narrative to be written to a degree. Do you not agree? And what did you make of the performance today?
So I sort of agree with you. As in, yes, the fixtures are fine. There should be... And in a normal season, if you saw that run of fixtures for Liverpool with the only difficult game really looking like Spurs, you would go heavy on Liverpool. But this season isn't really a normal season where Liverpool are concerned. It is a very bizarre Liverpool set of performances that we're turning out. Like the first 20 minutes of the game, it was like, where are Liverpool?
Yeah.
And then Trent got in an argument with Xhaka. And all of a sudden, he's decided he's got a bit of grit about him today and he's going to rally the crowd. And then it went in after half time and they clearly built on, you know, that kind of momentum. And they came out and in the second half, it's probably the best Liverpool performance we've seen this season. Arguably one of the best performances, if not the best. My issue is that, okay, so Salah, yes, fine. You want to invest in Liverpool? Yes, absolutely. But that means you probably can't have Haaland or Kane or... Like, you've got to make some sacrifices
Difficult
somewhere
to
else.
Put him in, yeah.
Because it's hard to have the threemium without... I mean, you can do it, but it's hard. But the rest of the Liverpool team, genuinely, I look at and go, well, Darwin's not regularly getting starts. How many minutes is Jota getting? Is he going to keep starting? What's happening with Gakpo? Firmino's coming on... I mean, he did brilliantly when he came on today for Mino.
Really good, yeah.
But he's not going to be regularly starting games, I don't think, between now and the end of the season. It feels very difficult to invest in Liverpool because of the rotation we seem to be getting there at the moment. It feels to me like it's Salah, but then everyone else feels a bit punty.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, Salah was, I noticed in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, he is second for XG underachievers this week. And of course, the penalty has something to do with that. And actually, first for XG underachievers was Ivan Toney. So the two penalty misses this week,
well, ahead of
shooting those two
as well
to the top of the XG underachievement chart. But Salah, yeah, I mean, maybe could have even had a penalty right at the end for being pulled down or whatever. But your narrative, I think, is absolutely right insofar as when it was a football match, Arsenal were way better than us, yeah. Way better, outclassed us, and it was the usual Liverpool lethargy. And I'm getting sick, honestly, of seeing the likes of Fabinho and Van Dijk and Trent just sort of being way too casual. Mm. Way too casual.
Henderson shouted at Trent about it, didn't he?
And absolutely right. I mean, the way he gets done for the first goal? The first goal is really bad again from Trent. Again, I have to say, I'm sorry, because again, for all of his attacking prowess in the second half, it's completely undone, really, by the fact he's defensively so... such a liability in the first half. Mm. But I have to say, and I loathe to say it, but we've spent season after season as Liverpool fans saying Van Dijk, he's calm as you like. He needs to stop being so bloody calm, because the way that he gets down on some of these goals lately is absolutely incredible.
It's hard with Liverpool at the moment.
With the game did turn on the elbow. The game did, and I don't mean the lino. The game did turn on the elbow.
Trent's one.
Yeah, the way that Xhaka flew in on Trent. Yeah. And you could see there was a bit of, like, all of a sudden the team were just like, oh, right, we're going to make this a fight now. And Liverpool turned it into, I'm not going to say Arsenal did as well, but Liverpool predominantly turned Anfield in that moment turned into a cauldron, and it turned into a chaos ball battle.
It was, yeah.
And it wasn't a football match anymore.
No, it was chaos. But,
because while it was a football match, we were second best, let me tell you,
yeah,
by a long way. Yeah, Arsenal were way better, out footballing us. And we needed to turn it into a battle. And as soon as we turned it into a scrap, we found a different gear. And that just says something. It says a lot, I think, about the mentality of those players right now.
Mm.
It's taken Trent to get elbowed by Xhaka and the crowd to get up, to get them fired up.
Mm.
So why does it take that for them to get fired up? Why can't they just get fired up about getting fourth place with this run of fixtures they've got?
Well, because they're not going to get fourth place is the reality.
The fixtures are there to put a run together. If they play like they did in the last hour of that game today, they will win all those games. But my fear is they won't.
That's the point. Yeah. They won't play like that every week. The fixtures might be there, but those are the sort of fixtures away at Leeds that you'll go and lose on the back of that performance.
Maybe.
Because that's what you've done in the past this season. Now, my issue with Liverpool is also it's not just about you going on a run and winning all your matches. You're reliant then on Newcastle and Man United dropping off a cliff if you're going to get up into fourth.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to do that. They are going to be the top four, I'm pretty sure. So you're basically scrapping with Spurs, is the reality, for fifth or sixth or seventh.
Yeah.
And
do we really want that? Do the players want that?
Well, I don't think that anybody at Liverpool is really that bothered. That's the thing. This season, it's felt very much like nobody really cares.
Difficult to get motivated when you are potentially scrapping out for a Europa League spot. It's
maybe
difficult, isn't it?
Maybe. And I think, for me, the issue I have as an FPL manager is that, yes, Salah, fine, he does return. You know, he's not returning loads, though. It's returning like a goal here and there, you know, on a semi-regular basis. But
he could have hauled today.
But he, well,
he could have hauled.
He could have, but yet again he didn't. And it feels like that quite a lot. It feels quite a lot this season that Salah gets plenty of opportunities but just doesn't quite hit the mark. Now, that for me...
If he scores the pen today and against Bournemouth, we're all grabbing him ahead of this next little run, aren't we? Surely.
I don't know, we would. So on a free hit in 32, absolutely I'll have Salah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't like, you know, when I was building my wild card this week, I didn't like.
I was amazed you didn't go for him.
I didn't like what it did to the rest of my team to have him.
Yeah.
Those midfield five spots, I was like, I'd rather have the double Brighton boys, and I'd rather have Jack Grealish and players like that who are showing fight as a team, who are determined to achieve something together as a unit, and who are on form and firing. And all of those boxes can't be ticked for Liverpool. Now, if there was an 8 million, if Gakpo, if Jota, if Luis Diaz...
If one of them was showing up,
it would be a really easy investment.
Mm.
But because Salah is the cost that he is, you expect him to perform and return with maybe the same gusto that Haaland is. And we're not hitting those marks.
Yeah.
And that's my issue.
All right. Very good. We had a super chat while we were talking Liverpool there from Cyberdet. Thank you, Cy, for the super chat. 42 points this week. So difficult week for Nigel the Crab. If it wasn't for Martinelli, I'd be toast. Yeah, Martinelli saving quite a few people's game weeks. Can we just end the season now? Oh, come on, Cy. Come on.
We're nearly there, Cy.
Eight game weeks to go, mate. It feels like Simon's had a bit of a slog of a season, but we're nearly there, mate. Eight game weeks to go. It's fun. Come on, man. It's supposed to be fun. So Liverpool 2, Arsenal 2. Lots to discuss. Really, really good game. Thoroughly enjoyed it in the end.
I can confirm he didn't for the majority of the first half.
I would imagine if you were a neutral, you probably enjoyed it. I didn't for the first half an hour, but I did for the final.
Enjoyed the whole game.
I absolutely did.
Thought it was great.
So we've talked about linesman elbowing Robertson. Let's talk about some other fairly shaky at best refereeing decisions and VAR decisions at Spurs 2, Brighton 1. I got so much to say about this, but you better go first. Go on.
No, we're not making this a whole conversation about...
Oh, my God.
This is an FPL stream.
It has consequences for FPL.
No.
On a day where VAR gets the decisions correctly, McAllister gets a double-digit haul, so that has an impact on FPL. Mitoma gets a double-digit haul.
We're not getting into VAR.
But we have to, because it would have had an impact on the Brighton assets.
No. So I think the two goals that got disallowed... By the nature of the law of the game, right, to start this off, Brighton deserved to win the game. So this isn't me being Spursy. This is just fact.
Before we start, good was Son's goal?
Oh.
Son's goal was unreal,
absolute
by the way.
Quality. Welcome
goals,
to the 100 Club, Sonny.
Legend. Brilliant
first
goal.
Asian player to do it, you absolute ledge. The two goals that got ruled off for Brighton, I think they are both very unlucky. They were both good goals. However... If they touch the hand, we've had it.
Which they didn't. Lever did.
They did.
Mitoma's touched his shoulder. Yeah, McAllister hit his hip.
So the point that they made on the commentary was that if it hit the defender there, it would have been a penalty. So if it's going to be a penalty, it has to be not a goal. Because that's apparently the rule.
Oh my God. Get the goggles off, please.
This is just the rule, right? So that's the rule. So that's what happens.
Oh my God.
Whether it's a penalty or not, I'm not getting into. No, I'm not getting into it.
Which one is the first question I have? Because there's several.
Either of them.
Right. So which one is the worst? I can't believe that we're not talking more about long lay on dunk in the last minute, because that's a penalty.
I'm not.
But the reason we're not talking about that is because Mitoma is even worse.
Well,
that is about as stonewall a penalty as you're ever going to see. It was horrendous.
I like VAR.
Horrendous. And the impact it has on FPL, because you're wrong, the impact it has on FPL is that if you started McAllister and Mitoma in your 11, you are bang unlucky.
Bang,
unlucky. And you should not worry at all about playing any of your Brighton assets against Chelsea next week.
I don't think anybody is,
because they were brilliant, Brighton, and you should have lost 5-2. No question. It was horrendous refereeing decision.
Let's not get into the VAR discussions.
Okay. So what did you think of the game?
I said Brighton should have won the game. They were by far the better side. We basically did what Liverpool did and just scrapped about and smashed and grabbed right at the end with Harry. Like, it's a quality goal from Son that comes from us being firmly on the back foot for however many minutes it was until Sonny scores the goal. Brighton were a far, far better side and they dominated the majority of the game. And when they scored the first goal that got ruled out, I was like, well, I'm annoyed, but equally, they deserve to be ahead. So fair enough. And then it got ruled out, and I was like, "Oh, we've been lucky here." And when it was at the end of the game, when it was like, "Right, there's been a goal at Spurs," I was like, "Oh, here we go then." Good break from Spurs, but again, it was just a fortunate break from Spurs. It's Brighton deserved to win the game.
Okay, so let's have a look at the fixtures going forward then. So Spurs fixtures, Bournemouth at home next, then away at Newcastle. So here's a question. Would you have any Spurs players? Would you have Harry Kane for your free hit in 32 going to St James's Park?
It's a tough one, isn't it? I think, because I think I probably will, only because a lot of the expensive assets that I would have had, although he's not that expensive, but Manchester United assets... Man City assets in particular.
Yeah.
They're not playing. So you're going to have a lot of value that you can spend across a free hit team.
Sure.
So you can afford to have Kane. Do you want to? I mean, I don't know. I think the way that Spurs are playing, if Spurs score, it is likely to be Kane that is involved. Newcastle clean sheets haven't been sticking so much of late. So could I see us going there and getting a goal? Yeah. Do I think we'll go there and win the game? No, absolutely not. So yes, probably, but I don't think it will be essential that you do.
No, lots of other good options. Lots of other good options. So yes, do not worry about your Brighton assets. They were phenomenal again. And Mitoma, it will shock nobody to hear, was amongst the top 10 in XG underachievers with a delta of 0.65. So definitely should have had goals. And there was another stat that I saw here. Oh no, that was my Salah stat for the last game. So yeah, listen, Brentford were bang unlucky. I won't have any more of a conversation about it with you because we disagree that it shouldn't affect FPL. It absolutely does. The refereeing was appalling. And if you've got McAllister and Mitoma and you played them, I feel like I dodged a bullet, actually, because I benched McAllister this week.
Yeah, I did.
First
too.
Benched him.
And a stupid
easily could have had a 15-pointer. Easily. Where else do you want to go then? So let's talk about Southampton 1, Man City 4 and Haaland being back. But also let's talk about Jack Grealish, because here's a transfer that I bottled going into this week. I decided that I didn't want to having bought in Madison for a hit, a -4 hit last week, I didn't want to take him out for another hit this week. It just felt like the wrong thing to do, particularly as he had Bournemouth at home. We have got to talk about Leicester in a minute as well, because he's going to be a popular transfer out, I think. But the transfer I would have made would have been to Grealish, and I didn't do it, and I'm probably going to do it this week. But you brought him in on wildcard, so fair play, and he was the difference in this game. I know Haaland got the two goals, but Grealish, another man of the match performance, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he's... Well, I was going to say I think he's undroppable, but this is Pep, so he could do anything. And obviously, we have to wait a little bit. Like, I don't... We've got Champions League this week, right? So we've got to make sure that players make it through games and all of that kind of stuff. I think... Man City were impressive. Like, they dominated that game. Southampton, well, quite honestly, I was annoyed that Southampton scored a goal. I have Edison as my goalkeeper now from my wildcard team. Mm. And I was like, well, this is really annoying, because Edison was on for a bonus point when the clean sheet was standing, which I found phenomenally ridiculous because he barely had any involvement in the game. I wasn't really sure what he was getting a bonus point for. Maybe he was doing some cartwheels or something up the other end of the pitch while Haaland was... scoring. But yeah, I thought Man City were, well, look, they look like a team that want to win the league. They look like a team that are committed to the chase. Now, yes, fine, it was against a very poor Southampton team, so they're going to look good. But that goal, that Grealish cross to Haaland, that was a phenomenal goal.
Mm.
Really, really good. And I think that what you decided to do about Haaland heading into game week 30... and to a certain extent, Jack Grealish, will very much have been dependent on 32, because Max and I talked for a long time about what to do with his team. And I was like, dude, with no free hit, you cannot bring in Haaland and sell players that are going to help you and play in 32. Because you're causing yourself issues moving forward that you're then going to have to take points hits for. And I know that come next week, we're going to be having a similar conversation again, because it's a nice fixture for Man City. You'd want to be invested. But what do you do if you don't have that free hit chip? And I think that's going to be the problem that a lot of managers have. Now, if Rashford isn't fit, then you can maybe take a punt and go, all right, well, I'll sell Rashford and get Grealish, because I'm not causing myself any more issues in my team. But I think if you've got, already got a lot of players that aren't going to play, if you're already heavily invested in Brighton, for example, you're going to have to be really careful with this Manchester City investment. And it's going to be really painful if you can't. I'm trebled up on City now. I'm glad I am.
I think that was definitely one of the highlights of your wildcard when I saw it in the Ohana podcast for the patrons on Friday. There was a couple of things I gave you some feedback on, but that was definitely like
some feedback. Was that what we would
some
call,
decisions were
would,
unreal?
Was that what we would unreal. Call the Ohana podcast this week? Because Lee was on a rant.
There were some random ones, but the thing I did agree with absolutely was having three City, because again, if you look at their run in, look away now, Arsenal fans. But Leicester at home. I mean, we are going to talk about Leicester in just a second. Then of course the big one. Great looking double game week, where if you've still got the triple captain chip, I would suggest Haaland not looking like a bad option in that.
Or Grealish if you fancy.
Or indeed Jack Grealish if you're chasing. Leeds, Everton, and then I probably should have stuck 37 and 38 on there. But anyway, their fixtures between now and the end of the season are brilliant. And it was always going to be a challenge. You're right, if you don't have the free hit in 32...
It's hard work.
It's difficult to bring them in for these games against Southampton and Leicester. And yeah, if you're going to captain Grealish, captain Haaland next week, aren't you? I mean, you're going to have to, aren't you? Home to Leicester. Unless something happens in the Champions League.
Yeah.
100%. I'm not even going to think about that.
I do think that there is a conversation with Grealish because he's phenomenal right now, but you will go Haaland because that makes sense. The other thing that I would just say before we move on from Man City is that if you are a John Stones owner...
It's unlucky.
Now, all right, the clean sheet didn't stick in the end, so it didn't really matter. But that moment, for me, was like... This is why I didn't want to invest in a City defender, in a nutshell, because you do get this rotation and you get this kind of like, oh, I'm going to move these players around because we've got Champions League football and everything else. And it's the one thing that I did worry a little bit with trebling up on Man City is what might happen in this game, the Southampton game leading into the game in the Champions League. I'm less worried about that coming out of it and into... the Leicester game next week.
All right. And are we overlooking Kevin De Bruyne? Because, again, two assists in the game week. I think maybe got some bonus points as well. An underlying BPS of 39, which was sixth best across the whole game week. Only bettered by Grealish, Haaland, Jordan Ayew, Eze and Olise. So by the free-scoring Palace boys and the free-scoring City boys. So outside of those two, De Bruyne next best with an underlying BPS of 39. Are we kind of not going there because Grealish is after price? Yeah. Or is he going to be a decent differential, De Bruyne, between now and the end of the season?
I mean, he could be a differential, but so is Grealish. And why would you spend double the price? I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's if... And we had this similar situation, didn't we, with Saka and Martinelli for a while at Arsenal. And you had a similar situation maybe last season with Kane and Son. If you can invest in somebody for a couple of million less... but they're going to roughly return the same points in the current form that they're in, then why would you spend the extra? Now, that stands for those combinations that I've just mentioned, but when you're talking about Grealish and KDB, we're talking double the price,
As Harvey is saying in the chat, it's a value for money question. Yeah, absolutely. And I think I agree.
Particularly if you've got Haaland as well. Because if you're going Haaland and KDB, and maybe you want Salah or you want Kane... Maybe you want to...
those mids. There's so many options, isn't there? You've got Brighton, you've got some Liverpool, maybe the Arsenal mids. You've got so many decent options.
If you want to go for Jesus, then you want to upgrade one of your forwards to Jesus, maybe. Then you are in a position where actually saving that money by going Grealish over KDB makes so much sense.
Okay.
However good KDB is.
Let's have a quick conversation then, because I don't think we're thinking about bringing any of them in. But I do want to have a chat about Leicester City now. So it's looking like my favourite manager, and you guys know that I love this guy, Jesse Marsh, is going to be on his way to Leicester City, which must be massively motivating for the likes of Vardy and Maddison and Harvey Barnes to have such an elite manager coming in to Leicester City Football Club. So much so that I saw a post-match interview with James Maddison after this defeat at home to Bournemouth. And I can't remember where it was, because don't think it was Sky... somewhere. Anyway, there's a clip of it on Twitter. The dude just looks like broken. Like Maddison, I think he got asked some question about, you know, was this a disappointing game? And he's just like head down, mumbling into his chest. Yeah, you know, well, the lads will talk about it. And, you know, we've just got to get our heads up and go again. And you're like, dude, you're the captain. Like, come on, man. Where's the... And I just think he's not only a Leicester playing crap at the minute, but I don't think he's a good manager. And I think top, top, top players like Maddison, and he will be at a top club next season, or Spurs. And he will be... he is a top player.
Shush you.
He just got to be looking at that going...
You're not having any more Easter eggs.
Just Jesse Marsh. Too much chocolate. Jesse Marsh coming in to this football club is just a disaster for Leicester City. Oh. I think they are relegated.
Oh, my... Well, I think they probably will be.
They'll go down. Especially if Marsh is there, because he is absolute trolloped.
Oh, wow.
So, all of that goes to say, James Maddison, get rid of him in FPL. I definitely will be for next season. Next game week.
I did say a lot, and I talked a couple of people into getting rid of Maddison on the Slack this week for Grealish. And I think for you, I said this to you, didn't I, on Saturday afternoon. Had
try not to kick the camera.
Had you not taken a hit for Maddison last week? Had he just come in on a free transfer?
I definitely bought it. You would have sold him before a hit this week.
I think the Bournemouth fixture slightly skewed our thinking, because for so many clubs, it's like, oh, they've got Bournemouth, let's invest.
Yeah.
But the reality is that Leicester at the moment are just as bad as Bournemouth.
Yeah.
So realistically, the game is like, it's a scrap at the bottom, and it's who's got the bigger courage to try to get something from the game. And the answer was Bournemouth.
Target them. They were that bad. I mean, Billing, yeah, good goal and big, you know, not taking anything away from Bournemouth. Fair play. They need the points down there, and it was a great result. But Leicester City, man, they were absolutely awful. Maddison just looks so off it. Vardy coming back in the team. I mean, listen, a couple of years ago, he was absolutely front and centre for that team, and he was banging them in left, right and centre. But he just not got the legs anymore, Vardy. And without the legs, he hasn't really got anything else.
The problem is, as I said last week, whenever it was that they sacked Rodgers, and the only reason why I think Jesse Marsh might not be a bad idea here is because what actually Leicester need is a manager. They don't need a caretaker situation. They need somebody to go in there and take control of the club. Because at the moment...
It's not him, though.
No, but Lee, the reality is, of all the managers that are currently available, he is probably the best option that they have, is the reality. So you're in a position where, in order for them to attempt to get out of the situation that they are in, and they could get out of it, because there's so many clubs in this problem at the bottom. There's so many of them. I mean, if you could send six of them down, you could.
They might just get the luck of the draw. It is tight down there.
So it's tight. They might be able to survive it.
Let's have a look at the fixtures.
Well, they've got City next, but they cannot survive it under a caretaker. They need a proper manager to go in there and manage them.
Tell you what, I've not really had a look at this. There's some six-pointers coming up here. Wolves, Leeds, Everton, Fulham. Goodness me, there's some six-pointers along the way there. But listen, I will be selling Maddison ahead of 31 because I don't want him. I would bench him anyway away at City. Then in 32, pretty unlikely, given that I'll be on a free hit, to get any Leicester at home to Wolves. Leeds away, do I want to hold Maddison, if that's the right
place? Jesse Marsh going back to Leeds?
Oh, God, Sam, I can't tell you how bad he is. Anyway, they've... As the chat is saying, the Smiths, Azzy, how are we doing, mate? Leicester have left it too late. They have. Yeah.
I don't know. You see, I actually don't know, because normally, yes, I totally agree with you. But this season, there are so many clubs that could still go down. It is so tight that if they get a manager in and they win a couple of those games, they'll be out of it.
All right. Okay. Well, let's have a look elsewhere. So, for sure, I'll be selling Maddison this week. Even if they say Rashford's out for the season, I'll still sell Maddison. He's that bad. Man United 2, Everton 0. In the end, good result for United. Got the job done. Never really looked like threatening massively, Everton, although Sims did have a very good chance in the first half that he spurned. That was probably their best chance.
Pickford was great.
Pickford was one of their man. He was pulling off save after save, so he did very well indeed. Martial coming back. I mean, what are we saying about Manchester United? Again, if you're not free-hitting, you're not going to invest, are you? Because they haven't got the game. But if you are, then maybe you are. I don't know. I mean, you've got what?
Well, see, this is where
who have you got? Just Rashford?
See, this is part of where we disagreed, wasn't it, on the Ohana last week, is that I was saying I'm only having Rashford for now with Man United, because without Luke Shaw, I didn't know defensively who else to invest in. And then with the sort of early news that it was going to be Wan-Bissaka rather than Dalot, because I was thinking about doing Gabriel to Dalot so that I had Dalot in place ready for the doubles.
Malacia, three bonus points, by the
way. Malacia with three bonus points. So he's probably... If you want a Manchester United defender, I think he's the one. He looks the most safe from the rotation as well that's been going on there.
Is Shaw out for a long period then?
This is the thing, we don't really know. Like, it was an unknown return date for this sort of hamstring issue that he's got. So maybe he's back for 34. And so in the end, that's why I decided to do nothing with the City defence. Because obviously if Shaw's back, I'd rather have Shaw.
Yeah, sure.
So I'll just keep waiting and see what happens, I think, there. Because you know, it's not like I was wildcarding and then we're straight into this double game week. We've got plenty of time to kind of see what's happening with these players.
Okay.
And we'll get more news this week because Manchester United have got European football. So we'll be able to see what happens in midweek with Rashford and that sort of thing.
So what we're saying about Rashford then, because one of the reasons I think I'll probably hold him is, again, free hit 32. But that double game week looks good for him, doesn't it? Villa at home, Brighton away. I mean, there's two informed teams there. So maybe on the fixture ticker here from Scout, it looks reasonably blue.
But maybe it's not as blue as it seems.
Yeah, Brighton away is actually quite a difficult game, isn't it? Mm. And obviously Villa in form as well. So, what are we saying about Rashford? If he's out for, say he misses the Forest game, you're going to hold him, aren't you? I don't think you're going to sell him ahead of those fixtures.
Yeah. I mean, I think if he's missing one game, you just bench him for the next game. But I think the bigger question is if they turn around and go, he's out for a month. Because then it's what? Like, right, okay, well, then what do we do? Because my feeling is that if Rashford's out for a month, you don't move him to another Man United player.
Mm.
Because looking at midfielders that you could go to, is there another one, really? Yeah.
Bang unlucky, by the way.
Who?
Rashford captain us this week. Bang unlucky. Because I know you got the assist, so yeah, good. Could have had more, couldn't he?
Pickford
was in his way more often than not, is the reality. So Rashford captain is a little bit unlucky, I would suggest,
because he did play well. The walk off, though, he didn't look comfy. Let's wait and see what Ten Hag's got to say ahead of Europe in midweek, because that might give us a little bit more insight into what the real situation with Rashford is.
Good. All right, where else to go, Sam? Any more games to discuss? Quick shout out to Ivan Toney for missing a penalty and then scoring one, taking away the Newcastle clean sheet. But Isak scoring again, and Eddie Howe going with the two of them, didn't he? Go went with Isak and Callum Wilson, didn't he, for a period of the game?
For a period of the game, yeah. They didn't start together, did they? But then Callum Wilson's on his way back, isn't he? So I wouldn't necessarily expect Callum Wilson to be getting 90 minutes all the time, and Isak is in good form. So, makes sense. I mean, I think Newcastle, at the moment, they're just able to grind out results, aren't they? They're just in that moment where they're managing to just get results and see them out. I think Brentford will consider themselves to be a bit unlucky. Of course, Toney missing that first penalty and then had one ruled out for VAR as well. So Brentford could have, maybe should have got something from that game. But yeah, I think if you are invested in Newcastle, if you've got Trips and Botman, if you've got Isak, then you just hold them because the fixtures are decent.
Yeah. Okay, very good. And from a Brentford perspective, obviously Toney top for XG underachievers this week, as you'd expect with the penalty miss, but had plenty of shots. He was third in the game week for shots with six after Salah and Rashford. It was then Toney who had the most shots this game week. So is he a hold, Toney? How do you feel about him?
Well, still not booked. So
Still hasn't got the ban, has he?
So still probably a hold, but Gabriel Jesus is shouting out for that third striker spot.
In a similar sort of price bracket. Yeah.
And Ollie Watkins also. Because if you are on Toney, that probably means you don't have Watkins. Unless you don't have Kane or Haaland. So I think that there will be managers out there that will look to sell Toney. Not necessarily through any fault of Toney's, but because they want a route to Haaland or they want a route to Ollie Watkins, or they want a route to Gabriel Jesus. And I think Toney is the most obvious player to sell because no doubles, the threat of the two-match ban for the yellow cards. So probably,
okay,
whilst I think he's a hold if you have him, I could understand if you were going to sell him for one of those guys why you would.
Okay, all right. Just before we get into our teams, I've noticed the chat has dried up. It could just be no one's in the chat. But we haven't had anybody in the posting in the chat since the Leicester conversation. Don't know whether the chat's gone a bit. I don't know if I can refresh it. Can I refresh it? I don't think I can, to be honest with you. And I'm not going to try to. But if you're still here and listening, type something in the chat and let me know that it's still working, because it does appear to be...
Should have a look on the Slack. They'll tell us if it's gone wrong.
To have dried up. But let's... I don't know if there's any more games we want to discuss. Ollie Watkins, last minute. Second goal for Villa. Very, very good if you've got him. Chelsea, absolutely in the mud. Frank's first game back, losing to a very, very good goal by Matias Nunes. So take nothing away from the goal itself. It was really good. but nothing else much to say. And then Palace smashing Leeds today. I don't know whether Roy Hodgson has made any major difference since he's come back to Palace, but no Zaha, no problem for Palace today.
Oh, well, okay. So you said quite rightly, actually, when we were watching this game, it feels a bit unfair on Vieira because you sacked him after a period of really, really difficult fixtures.
Yeah, absolutely.
Against really hard teams where he probably wasn't expected to win games. You've stuck Hodgson back in the chair till the end of the season, which, by the way, is probably what Leicester should be doing. And not with Hodgson, but with the chairman.
Get Hodgson back.
And he's coming into a nice run of fixtures against teams that are also struggling at the bottom. And I think Palace have got themselves out of it now, pretty much. One more win, and I'd say they're pretty secure now.
Yeah, and 2 wins back to back after, like you say, the run was unreal. And I remember looking at the beginning of the season, I'm sure I've said this before, remember looking at the beginning of the season saying, "Cool, that run just after the World Cup is horrible. It'd do well to get through that." And they didn't. He gets fired and Hodgson comes in and they have 2 really good games and they get back-to-back wins. Shock, horror. And the fixtures going forward look pretty good for Palace as well.
So Dylan's saying the chat is working. They can talk to each other. We can't see the chat.
We can't see the chat, but you guys can talk to each other. I can live with that. That's fine.
Just don't think we're being rude. If you've super chatted us, we can't see it.
Yeah, that is odd, isn't it? I don't know why that is the case. I don't know whether if I refresh the window,
oh dear,
I dread to think what's going to happen. So I'm not going to do that.
We can't see any chat. As you'll see from the chat box on the screen, probably.
Yes, that seems to have frozen. But I can still move it up and down. Look, I can still move it up and down.
But it's not got anything
it's
else.
Not refreshing, which is a bit odd. Weird. So sorry, guys, about the chat. That seems to have disappeared for some reason.
If you're not free... Okay, so if you're free hitting in 32, then I don't think you need to invest in Palace. But if you aren't free hitting in 32 because you don't have it, then I don't think investing in Palace is that terrible an idea as a bit of a punt.
Well, let's have a look at the fixtures then. So Palace, you're right. Right up there. It's Southampton up next with Everton at home in 32. So again, non-free hitters might be looking at them. Wolves and then West Ham as a single game week fixture in 34 before going away at the Spurs and then Bournemouth. But so like it's not terrible fixtures, you're right.
If you're like Max and you're planning to wildcard in 33 but don't have your free hit, then having Palace players in for Southampton and Everton actually feels quite nice.
Yeah, possibly. Let's get on to our teams then, Sam. So I'll go first. A game week score of 60, taking me up to 1,991 points. An overall rank of 63k.
Nice.
Took a big chunk out of my rank last week with the bench boost in game week 29. This week was all about just consolidating. And I think next week will be as well, to be honest with you. Not taking too many risks. I've got, you know, 3 or 4 more game weeks between now and the end of the season that I want to attack. And I think that's what I'm trying to do, is just trying to pick my battles. Definitely last week was one to attack with the bench boost. 32, the free hit week. Is that 32?
Yeah,
32. That's going to be a game week to go after it as well. And there's a couple of others that I've got my eye on. But certainly this week and next was one to probably just to consolidate. Although saying that, if I'd have swapped Madison for Grealish, I'd have been on a much better and bigger green arrow than I currently am. But overall rank of 63k, I'm pretty happy with that. A small green arrow, 5%, up from about, I think I was about 67, 68k before. So it's a small one, given that today's games didn't really go my way at all, right? I didn't have Salah with the goal. I didn't have Martinelli. Nothing from Palace and Leeds, obviously, like most. So to only get one extra point today from yesterday is a bit disappointing, but it's put me back from a decent green arrow. At the back end of yesterday, I was on about 55k, and today's games, not having Martinelli and others, has cost me a little bit. So down to 63k. It's all right. We go again in game week 31. So let's go to your team then. So your wildcard team for this week performed pretty well. Talk us through it.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, it needed to be, didn't it, on the back of last week? Because last week was, as Lee said earlier, it was difficult with no chip in play and just with a team that was, it was a bit compromised. It felt a bit compromised. So to go into this one, felt nice. Chilwell annoyed me. I mean, that is just a frustration.
I noticed Frank said something in his, sorry to cut across you, he said something in his pre-match about, because I put a tweet out there, I was like, what's he doing not playing Chilwell? Mm. He's been their best player for the last 3 weeks and probably one of their key threats. And I think Harry come back and said, well, yeah, I've got Real Madrid in a week. I was like, maybe. And Frank said pre-game, didn't he? He said, I'm looking to rest my key players. Hence, Kante was rested. Chilwell's rested. for me, that tells you a lot about what Frank is there to do. He's there to get them as far as he can in the Champions League and just consolidate in the league. It doesn't look as if they're going to be going after games like Wolves away when they've got Real Madrid in the week. So does that make you approach Chelsea a bit more cautiously? It does me. Yeah, massively.
Because, I mean, I obviously bought into Chilwell because they've got the double coming up and in the last double, he was attacking and aggressive and was really unlucky not to get more than he did. You know, he got the clean sheet, didn't he, against Chelsea, and then a 0-pointer in the game before that. So that was, you know, whereas actually the reality is he could have got double-digit hauls in those games because he was the most attacking by such a long way. So he was a bit annoying. But everybody else I was relatively pleased with. Mings, delighted with hit with that. I think, you know, I tried to pick out some differentials in there just to give me potential for a kind of boost. And Mings and Grealish were the kind of the two that I was mostly looking at to do that. And then Edison, of course, as well, in goal. Edison didn't return, but I still feel a bit aggrieved by the fact that Edison conceded that goal. But my Aston Villa boys both bringing in the points and
Mings clean sheet, very welcome. Yeah, very welcome.
Yeah, definitely. So actually, my front three doing a great job. I am a bit annoyed with myself about the Saka Martinelli thing because I really didn't want to sell Martinelli, but I didn't feel I should sell Saka in terms of rotation. And look, longer term, I think it will still be fine to have Saka. I don't think I'll be still doing the hokey cokey with them or anything like that. It's not like I need the money. So, yeah, and I think it's set up quite nicely for next week. I will make a transfer, though,
I was going to say, what do you think are your early thoughts on transfer for next week?
Well, I have to make one. Otherwise, I'm burning one because, obviously, I'm free hitting next time around. So I'll be keeping a very close eye on Manchester United in the week and what happens with Rashford and Ten Hag because that position is potentially up for negotiation.
Yeah, who would you move that to then? Because I think there will be a lot of, and as I can see in the chat, because I now have my chat, I have the chat working on my iPad, if not on my laptop.
We can see.
So I can see what you guys are saying. And where did I see? Yeah, Abhishek, thank you. What's the plan with Rashford? Because many that don't have Grealish will be going, well, if Rashford's out for a little while, I'll maybe move to him, unless you're raging Madison out like me. What would your plan be? Who would you go to? Because you've got Grealish in place already.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I could go for an extra Arsenal. I could go back there again for that fixture because it would be kind of a 1 week thing because I didn't have to worry about 32. But then also, I don't know if I really want to do that because heading into, I'd want to set my team up better for 33, 34 and use that transfer this week to make sure that I was replacing Rashford with a player that also doubled in 34 because I'd be taking him out, if that makes sense.
Got it.
So, in an ideal world, there'd be a nice mid-price Liverpool midfielder, wouldn't there? And then go there, but there isn't that I want to invest in anyway.
Luis Diaz?
I love Luis Diaz. And I said in the Ohana that obviously our patrons get to listen to on a Friday that that's kind of what I've been waiting for with Liverpool. I've been waiting for a fit Luis Diaz because I would really like him in my team. But the problem I would have is, you know, how much is Klopp going to rush him back? Is he?
Well, he's not. Is he
he's going to? Yeah. Well, hopefully he's not because we don't want him injured again. But
can't afford to have him injured again. No. It'd be such bad for him if he did that.
So I'm going to have to wait and see. I think is the reality is wait and see what happens with Rashford. And then go from there.
Okay. All right. But overall rank change of 27.6%. So nice. Overall rank up to 133k. A game week score of 71, which is pretty damn good,
okay.
I would say.
It's okay.
Pretty damn good for this week. So there we go, guys. That is it. Sorry about the chat. We have got the chat going on my iPad here, but we usually get it going on the screen here, and I can see it. I can see you guys talking live.
What happened to it?
I don't know. I'm going to go and investigate
some
that.
Gremlins. So
I'm going to try and investigate that. But while I do that, why don't you tell the folks what is coming up this week?
I'm busy this week. So tomorrow...
You're busy every week.
I know. It does feel like that. Well, now I'm on the mend. And back to health.
Yes.
Back to busy. So tomorrow, Gianni and I are recording off the bench together, which I am super looking forward to. I love
Grealish
chat with Gianni.
Pickers Unite. He had Grealish in me this week. Yeah.
Also,
he did the move that I bottled. And we even had a conversation about it, Gianni and I, on Twitter, Saturday morning. And he said, I think he said, yeah, I'm doing Madison to Grealish. And I said, oh, I really want to do it, but I'm bottling it because I didn't want to take him out for a hit, having just brought him in for a hit. But well done, Gianni. He did do that move and it paid off.
So looking forward to a chat with Gianni, and I'll also be questioning him on Chelsea a lot. Ooh, I'm sure he'd be delighted. Yes. So got that coming up tomorrow, and then on Thursday, as normal, back on the official pod with Jules and Kelly talking about game week 31. We'll be back with Ohana on Friday morning, as usual, for our patrons. There'll be some more voice notes, I'm sure, this week. We put out a few last week on various different things, including my wildcard. I think there was one on... You did one as well, didn't you, on your game week? I think you did sort of game week review one.
I was just so happy with game week 29 that I just thought I want to tell people
tell
about
it. Tell the world about it. So, yeah, that will all be happening this week.
Very good. And we should give a shout out to our friends Praz and Sonaldo, Andy, who went on Sky Sports over the weekend. Absolutely brilliant. I thought they were both absolute naturals, honestly. Especially Andy, who has flown in. I don't know if he flew in specifically for the show. I don't know if it's specifically for that. But he's on a bit of a tour of the UK. And he was there when Sonny scored his 100th goal.
Did you see the picture?
Ah, perfect.
There's a picture
of
Sonaldo when Sonny scores that goal.
Brilliant.
And his little face. Honestly, my heart.
And he's such a legend, isn't he?
It was almost too much for me because Sonaldo and I, we have a special relationship because of our love of Spurs and they're all things Sonny. And because a lot of his early stuff, you know, I did a lot of stuff with him in the beginning and it was so lovely. And Praz is just an absolute gent. Like, that man is an absolute gentleman and such a great guy to be around. We were super proud of them, weren't we, watching Sky Sports News? They both smashed it.
Absolutely brilliant. And they were standing as well. Often we go on and we sit, but the guys both have to stand. And that's harder, right?
They've had to move studios, haven't they? Because they're redoing the normal studios. When we were there last week, they were like, oh, on Tuesday, we're moving downstairs. And I was like, oh, that's going to be... So for Sonaldo and Praz, it was kind of... The first time they've been in this new studio trying to work out what everyone was doing.
Difficult,
so
right?
Yeah, they did fantastic.
So well done to the guys. And guys, thank you very much for joining us here on tonight's live stream. Leave us a like before you go. And if you're new to the FPL Family channel, then hit that subscribe button or consider joining like FPL Shauno did earlier on in the live stream. Well done in game week 30. We're going to see you this time next week for a look back at all of game week 31's actions. And we'll be looking ahead to what we're going to do with our free hits in week 32. So this time next week, we will be talking free hit. I've got a feeling there's going to be a bit of a template
Can't
potentially.
Have the same free hit team. How boring.
Let's see how it goes, guys. But leave us a like before you go, and we'll see you next time. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.